Welcome back to another episode of Disciple Henson. I am Jeff Chang here, as usual, though maybe not for much longer. And I am joined by Mike DeBoer once
again. Good morning.
Mike, you our first episode must have gotten rave reviews, so you have another shot at this.
I wasn't blocked from the entrance to the building, apparently.
No, that's right, yeah. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, I think people would enjoy hearing just a word of update from you. How are you doing? How's quarantining going for you? Any word of encouragement for our folks?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. How is quarantining going? That's probably going to become a word that will enter our vocabulary. I also realize, since I work in schools, which are not meeting physically but virtually, who knew that a first grade vocabulary word would become unmute?
There you go.
Because if the teachers don't mute the video call, it just falls apart really quick. Anyway, so how are we doing? I think one of the things that I have noticed personally and noticed in conversation with many is that at this stage, people are finding the novelty of this. It wasn't really a pun, but the novelty of this whole experience wearing and tiresome.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the need to continue to talk to others, to talk to the Lord about this. He knows what we are going through. And I have been helped by a pretty regular visiting the Psalms to just talk with the Lord, to bring my heart's concerns and fatigue and all of those kinds of things to the Lord, and to do that with other people. I mean, this is hard. You know, it's hard, and at times I can find myself wanting I wish other people would do this or initiate toward me. Yeah. And you know, in those moments, the Lord reminds me, if that's my feeling, I need to initiate to someone else.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that just in our society in general. People are getting a little more tense, you know.
I think they are.
And there's rising kind of conflict for, you know, as differences and of opinions grow, and yeah.
I witnessed that this morning just sitting outside in the parking lot for a few minutes. There aren't that many cars in the street, but a truck was going by and a car pulled in front of it to cross, and they weren't in danger of an accident, but one honked at the other and the other honked back. And it's kind of like, wow, you know, things haven't changed, or maybe they're changing a lot.
Well, and that connects to what we're talking about here. If you haven't listened to our first conversation from the previous week, you'll want to refer to that, because in that episode, we started a conversation about a book called Real Change, which fits right into this series that we're going through, thinking about sanctification. And last week, we were thinking about this reality of heat in our lives, the troubles that come upon us, that put pressure in our lives, and thorns kind of out of our sinful hearts often arise some kind of sinful fruit, some sinful responses. It was helpful for us to recognize kind of this deeper problem kind of in all of us, which I think so often we ignore, we're just not aware of, we don't think in those categories.
Or it's easy to think in terms of the more surface visible things, the behaviors,
That's right.
Rather than they come out of a sinful heart, sinful desires that reside within rather than are in someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why we need to think then today about the gospel. Because if the problem is from this sinful heart, then change does not come from within ourselves, right? Change must come from God acting for us in Christ, and that's what we have in the gospel. And that's where all real change begins, you know, not with our effort, but with understanding what God has done for us in Christ. But, you know, even before we get to that, perhaps, you know, Mike, you can help us think through what are some ways that we try to work change in our lives or look for change other than the gospel?
That's a great question. You know, I think there are all kinds of good things we can do. And I think there are helpful things that we can do. And yet, apart from recognizing what's happening in our hearts, those good things will run out. Mm. It's like a runway that ends. We're going to run out of runway mm-hmm. with those things, and they will not endure. Mm-hmm. Things we can try. I mean, goodness, there are so many potential self-help kinds of mm-hmm. strategies or techniques, or and those can all be really useful.
Yeah.
There are things we can learn to say. There can ways,
barriers,
yeah, means to help us remember things. Mm-hmm. Those are all good and have a place. Yet left to themselves, I think that's an apt analogy. We will run out of runway mm-hmm. eventually. Mm-hmm. And if we're counting on that runway to land on, we're going to crash.
Yeah. Yes. And as you said, those are good things. And yet, as Christians, we understand that the kind of order we want to pursue those things is kind of later, right? First must come, or even maybe even concurrently. But in mm-hmm. the midst of that, there must be this pursuit of real change through the gospel.
Yeah, I think that's helpful to acknowledge whether it's first or not. I would say yes. It ideally it is first, but I think sometimes we don't see it mm-hmm. first. Mm-hmm. The way I tend to think about it is more is if we don't deal with that at some point, we're not gonna make the progress we want mm-hmm. because there's a want to issue mm-hmm. at the heart of so many of our conflicts.
Yeah.
And what do I want most? And all too often, if we look carefully, as James says, the problem is what you want.
Yeah.
You want something for you.
Yeah.
I want what I want when I want it. And the truth is, Jeff, we're too sophisticated to just say that directly.
Yeah, that's right.
We couch it in all kinds of important sounding needs and descriptions, but it's right. basically, I want what I want.
Yeah,
it's not that different than the toddler. I do it. me. I. Yeah.
And so the kind of change that we need, right? The heart change that changes down to our very desires, that comes to us only through the gospel.
Amen.
How does God do that? How does God change us in the gospel?
Boy, I feel pretty inadequate to speak to this, mm-hmm. but I think it's really true. You know, I think what happens is and this is the kind of the next session chapter in the book is to talk about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we at Hinson have become really accustomed to hearing the centrality of the gospel. And I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We within the gospel, I think recognizing what Christ has done for us through his life, death, and resurrection, and how we come to that by faith, and what we hear regularly is repent and believe. And that's what this chapter is about, is repenting. And that comes out of a recognition of our own walking our own way, even if it's just in a particular area or a particular practice or a particular issue that the Lord, you know, maybe has been pointing to for a long time. And I think I kind of mentioned this last time, it's one of those things that we could kind of get used to in our life. And so we don't deal with it very fully.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a need in that I'm most likely to repent and then to turn and trust and turn from my own way of dealing with this or my own maybe keeping God out of that,
mm-hmm.
Keeping God separate. I've got this. I can do this. Or it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of move on with life. And I can do that. Having a fairly developed devotional life, praying, attending church regularly, all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when we talk about change, we have to think about this idea of repentance and faith. And it strikes me how the gospel gives us something, not only to turn away from sin, but to turn towards, you know?
Yes.
Because you can tell people all day long, turn away mm-hmm. from sin. But if you don't give them something else to embrace, they'll go right back. Right?
I think that's so true. One of the passages that we talk that we are directed to in the study is one that I think is probably pretty familiar to us in Colossians 3. Mm. You know, where, and I'll read this. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above. Sorry about that. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's just kind of, I mean, it's important imagery, but it's not familiar. I mean, it's not the typical kind of way that we think, but I think it's true. If my life is actually hidden with Christ and God, then it makes sense that if I want to live, I have to follow Christ fully, wholeheartedly. I have to pursue him in place of any other kind of life-giving, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think that means, so repentance means that I need to turn from anything that I may be looking to for life or substance or value or meaning or connection to follow him fully.
Yeah. And look for those things in
him. For those things in him. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and in the gospel, as we hear, as God gives us eyes to see it, we find those things in him. You know, we start to see that, in Christ is our security, and in him is true value and worth and joy and all those things that we were looking for in our sin.
So much so. I mean, as you think, as you reflect on, and as the Spirit makes real what happens in the gospel, where Christ, knowing me as I was, lived that perfect life, placed himself on the cross, and stayed there, knowing the kind of person that I am, that's the greatest act of love in the history of all the world.
Amen.
And he, because all he had to do is he could have come down, he could have stepped down from the cross and said, "Oh, Deborah, you're not worth it."
Yeah.
And I'm not worth it, and yet he loved us because he loved us, and because of that love, he stayed.
Mm.
And he paid the full penalty of what my sin and sins for the rest of my life would require.
Mm.
And he did that out of love for me. He faced the rejection of the Father, which he had perfect relationship with. I can barely imagine what that could even be like.
Yeah.
And then he raises again, he conquers death, he conquers sin, and he makes it possible for us to have a relationship with him through trust, just believing that it's true.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I find it helpful when John Piper, you know, tries to give us different synonyms for the word believe. You know, we're called to believe on Christ, but he's like, it's not just a head knowledge,
a
kind of a notional understanding, but it's this treasuring, it's this delighting, it's this trusting.
I love that word, delight. And I think the word trust matters because I think if we think about our lives functionally, we trust. If you think carefully, if you think functionally, you start to see what you trust, what you count on, what you rely on.
And that's what's going on there in that Colossians passage you read, because you know, Paul's telling us to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. So there's this like interesting contrast where we want to believe in the things of earth. We want to, you know, all those trust, delight, all those words, that's what we want to do with the things of earth. But now God is calling us through the gospel to take all that and turn it towards Christ.
I think that's so true, Jeff. And I think if we consider, take some time to consider, we will see the things that each of us are prone to trust, whether it's a claim, whether it's achievement, whether it's recognition, whether it's possessions or security or all those things. But even beneath those things, those, the trust of that, the reliance on that is really about me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's at that level, when we start to do business at that level, I think that change can really happen.
Yeah.
Because we recognize, you know what, if I'm trusting me, it's never going to lead to that,
yeah,
whatever it is that I hope for.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And Paul's command here in Colossians 3, it's an ongoing command, isn't it?
Oh, always.
It's not kind of, because salvation, our conversion is at a point in time. Like, it's punctiliar,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet there is an ongoing repentance of faith.
As we talked about last time, you know, as Paul says, that the gospel is the power of God for saving, mm-hmm, in a point in time, from now till eternity, and finally fully revealed, yeah, at that day when he comes.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, so, you
absolutely
know, the journey of the Christian life then is this ongoing process of repentance and faith, mm-hmm, that we keep repenting, keep believing in Christ. And then as we do so, change begins to take place from the inside. It has taken place, and it continues to take place, right?
It really does.
Can you kind of give us an example, kind of make this concrete for us? You know, was there a time in your life when the gospel made a difference, you know, in a moment when you encountered some heat and some thorns,
yeah,
in your own life?
Oh, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. No, I totally do. I totally do. And that's why I think, as I may have mentioned in the last episode, is that I really have found real help in this. Mm. And I did not know, as I have shared with a number of other people, I had no idea when I started thinking about doing this course. I thought, well, this would be nice. This will be helpful for people. People, you know.
Those people.
People. And of course, that doesn't include me. That's everyone else, right? Boy, did I had no idea that the Lord intended for me to be front row and center on this. Not that he would do this, but it's almost like a picture, I'm on a stool in the middle of the classroom. Or maybe a better analogy would be, I'm on the table and the gallery is around watching me being worked on.
God loves you, brother.
Yeah.
He does.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful,
yeah,
because one of the things that this course, this book, encourages people to do is to consider a change project, which makes it seem a little bit sterile, perhaps. Mm. But so as we went through this process, one of the things that I had several things, you know, two or three, to consider, and one of them was an area that I had become rather accustomed to and just kind of worked around, had some life hacks to deal with it, I guess. and that was just the area of defensiveness. Mm. Now, most people probably don't see that in my life, but someone really dear to me does. And I have, for far too long in our relationship, in Mary Alice's and my relationship, been too quick angry, too defensive, too reactive. And I'm not a yeller. I don't scream and throw things or anything like that. I'm much more subtle. It's in my tone of voice. It's in my facial reaction. But it's real nonetheless. And I've begun to recognize that more. Well, as I was going through this, and I was thinking of heat. You know, pressure comes, and it may come in the form of just a simple question about something that involves us, our finances, or a thing to do with a potential deadline or something. And my thorn was this, you know, kind of reaction. And if you didn't know what that was, it was kind of a what is that? It's not a grunt, but it's some kind of just barely verbal kind of sound. But in on my face is probably daggers and a look that's like, how could you possibly bring that up? I might even clench my fists underneath the table. And all in that process, I'm pushing away. I'm shutting her out. Mm. And that's the consequence of those thorns. And she was able to say that in the kindness of God in a moment where she was hurt, rightfully, understandably so, she used those words, "You shut me out." And it was really clear to me that in those moments, I am pushing away the person I love the most. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I'm pushing God away. Mm. So those thorns have real fruit.
Yeah.
They have consequences. And so I'm pushing her away. I'm pushing God away in that moment and not really seeing that for what it was, mm-hmm. until that moment when the Lord really used her to clarify for me. Mm. And then what I'm realizing in those moments is that at the heart of that is that I'm trying to justify me. I'm making excuses. But she did this, but if you look at it, how come always this? And along with that, there's this attempt to try to cover up me. Mm. And the way I did that was through blaming and accusing and turning the light constantly back to her. Well, the cross tells me that I don't have to justify myself anymore because I have been justified.
Yeah.
I don't have to cover my sin because it's been covered by the Son of God. Clearly, you can tell this touches me deeply. And recognizing that, I don't have to respond in that way anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And that would probably be great in itself. But to have, after thinking those thoughts and contemplating that, those reactions and that heart in the light of what Christ has done for me in the gospel, I realized I don't want to do that anymore. Hmm. And then to have an encounter a few days after that, that would have been one of those kind of moments.
Yeah.
And to not, and thankfully not react that way.
Mm. Praise God.
And to have, and I recognized it, but she also recognized it. Mm-hmm. And to have her come back to me later and say, that was one of those moments, and you didn't react that way. Mm-hmm. I think that's real change.
Praise God. Yeah.
Now, I would love to say, okay, we're all done with that. It's time to move on. Oh, boy.
No,
we're not. But, man, if the Lord can change something like that in me, something that's been allowed and ignored for too long, mm-hmm. I'm really hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
Oof. That was hard to do.
Thank you so much. It's so encouraging, really, to hear that. It makes me think so often, on a typical morning, we might have, a church member might have kind of some time in the Word that they go to spend, in the Word and a prayer, or they might be going to church, or maybe going to their small group to do a Bible study. And so often we approach those times feeling pretty self-sufficient, feeling like we've got things under control, feeling like we're doing pretty well. And we're surprised that we're not gaining anything out of God's Word, But I think even as in the story that you shared there, this, as we come to humbly recognize our need, as the Lord convicts us of our sin, it's then that there's a real opportunity. You know, as we encounter the heat in our lives and the thorns in our lives, there's a real opportunity there to go to the cross and there to find real hope, real security, you know, all the things that we're looking for.
What
I just appreciated about your story was just, you know, reminding me of my need for a posture of humility, that the Lord, that always an openness for the Lord to show me things that I've been ignoring, you know, things that I've been overlooking, but to really allow him to expose those things.
I think it's true. I think we see this in Luke 15, when the young son came to his senses. I think it's easy to look at that and go, yeah, it's about time. And there may be some truth to that. It's about time. But I think it's also true. I think that repentance comes to us, Jeff. I appreciate Tim Keller's way of phrasing this, where we can't wake ourselves out of a trance. And I think the Lord brings repentance to us. I think there are maybe major moments, but even in the ongoing basis, I think having a posture of repentance, and that might be an odd phrase, posture, but a readiness to do that. I think one of the parts that I didn't include in that story is that for me, what repentance looks like means a readiness to accept and to admit that's true about me, and I don't have to hide that anymore. I don't have to cover it. I don't have to justify it. It's all been done so that I can look at those moments where my sin is exposed gladly. So when those moments come, we need to respond. Because I think it's possible to become aware and yet not really turn.
And I don't know that that's always how we approach, you know, walking into church on a Sunday morning.
I don't think so.
I'm coming here this morning to repent.
That
the Lord would reveal something for me to repent of and to find, again, the sufficiency of Christ. In that.
And in that, because if I don't find the sufficiency of Christ in that, that repentance won't endure.
That's right.
Right? And I think it's, be careful, brother or sister, if the only time that repentance really seems to surface for you is at the Lord's Supper. I mean, clearly it ought to then, but if that's
or at the retreat or at the conference.
Repentance is not something that happens only at big moments. It's something that should be a part of our life all the time. You know, Luther said that all of life is repentance. I think that's, I hope that as a congregation, that becomes a part of the way we deal with each other as well. Not only is that, and clearly that's a part of our own lives individually, but that's something that we expect and acknowledge and imagine with each other.
Repentance is just as, you know, as we hear even the emotion in the story that you shared, repentance became for you a pathway to seeing the beauty of the gospel. And the wonder of Christ.
And seeing that gospel, I didn't see, what I saw about the gospel wasn't necessarily new, but where, how it applied to my heart, my heart's desires became fresh and real, more real than ever before. And I think that's what needs to happen in our hearts.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that's how Jesus starts. The way up is down.
Spiritually bankrupt, right?
Yeah,
I got nothing.
Rather
than what I think often happens is that we, even in a quiet time, we can read the Word, we can pray, and we can do it out of a, I'm going to go back to that word again, posture, but a kind of a framework of, I got this.
I'm building like a treasury of merits.
Almost. And you know, and again, we would know to answer the questions on the test correctly.
Of course.
But it's functionally, how do we live that? How do we, what do we rely on really? Now my day is going to be good because I had a great time in the Word.
That's right.
Really?
So, you know, in this model, having turned to Christ, having found a new hope in the gospel instead of our sin, we repent, we embrace Christ, and that produces a change in us. And kind of the next step in this model is just thinking about now, out of a changed heart, when we encounter heat, instead of producing thorns, we produce fruit.
It produces fruit, good fruit. Mm-hmm. As opposed to bad fruit, right? Or thorns. It produces good fruit, and that's what happens. I think as we see how the gospel meets those most basic desires in our heart, our heart changes, and so we want to see, and we start to see the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. the fruit of godliness coming out, mm-hmm. and I think it can be helpful to even take a look at, and it is interesting, isn't it, that Paul calls that list, which I've heard referred to as fruits, he refers to it as singular.
Yeah.
As though you kind of have it or you don't. Yeah. If you don't have some of it, you don't have any, right? Yeah. And so I think it's helpful to reflect on, at times, the fruit. Like that, to take a look at what does my life look like now? How do I see that fruit growing?
Yeah. Yeah, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what strikes me about that list, I didn't previously think of this, but, I think we sometimes imagine those things just existing, you know, when life is kind of going well.
Yeah, like, exactly. You
know, maybe I'm on vacation or something.
That's what I'm living by the Spirit.
When you need patience, when you need self-control and gentleness and kindness, these things often are needed during times of heat, right? When you're encountering the hardships of life, when people are being difficult, when you've been wronged.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in those times where this fruit is coming forth.
Right, exactly. Again, because I think if we see that fruit only when times are going well, it may be because of who we're functionally trusting.
Mm.
You know, but it's in trusting Christ through the heat that we can find this being our want to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We find ourselves wanting to do good, wanting to be kind, wanting to be patient,
mm-hmm.
because of what we know it produces. And so to go back to the story, I don't want to shut out mm-hmm. my wife
mm-hmm.
in any area. Mm-hmm. I married her to be together with her.
Mm-hmm.
She did that with me. Yeah. That was our expectation. And our relationship with the Lord, I continue to come back to Matthew 11. Come to me.
Yeah.
Come. That invitation. Yeah, I know. I grew up in a church where we played a lot of versions of songs that said, come, right? You know, just as I am, I come. Yeah, I know. But the invitation is real from Jesus to us. Come, you know, enter into life with me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Lay down trying to do this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You'll fail.
Yeah.
And you'll hurt a lot of people in the process.
Yeah, that's right. And in the way our lives play out, you know, I think there will be times when we won't feel like we want to
mm-hmm.
show kindness, to show self-control. And yet, some of the things we were talking about earlier, some of those good habits, some of those, you know, setting up barriers,
mm-hmm.
you know, those things can be helpful in those moments. But how do we, you know, pursue sort of a right behavior even if our hearts aren't fully there, but not just leave it at that either?
Well, you're right, Jeff. When I say want to, I'm not talking about just a feeling of doing that.
That's good.
You know, my kids cry at night. I want to get up. I want to stay in bed, right? You know, I feel like I want to stay in bed, but I want to get up because it's what they need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So we want to do things. That doesn't mean I necessarily feel like it. There are things we need to do at the doctor's office. There are things we need to do for our car. Mm-hmm. right? You get the idea, mm-hmm. I think. So we do those things in place of for others, in place of ourselves, because it's what God has done in our heart, because of what
it's
He is,
are.
Because He's done that for us.
Yeah.
And if He's done that for us, I mean, you and I, we know what that's like. If someone does something for you, what does it engender in us? We want to do something else, something back, right?
Yeah.
And I think if that isn't there, that's a good reason to question, you know.
What are you hoping in?
Yeah, what is our hope in? Or if we're, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And does that, you know, how does that play in terms of guarding us against pride? Because I think sometimes as Christians, you know, when there is fruit in our lives,
boy,
you can begin to look at that and find your confidence in that. How do you stop from becoming proud?
Yeah, if there's good fruit in my life, it's time to start a podcast, right? No, I'm totally kidding. I think that's true. I think that's possible. And yet I think if we really understand the gospel, we know that it's not based on what I have done, but what Christ has done in me, so that if I love, to the degree that I love, to the degree that I respond with good fruit, I know that that's come from a heart that's been overcome by the grace and the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And there's no room for boasting in that. Mm-hmm. Paul talks about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's no room for boasting. This is, it's through weakness that Christ works. And that's what He's doing in my life. He's what He's doing in your life, in the life of everyone who's listening to this.
Amen. And a good alternative to pride is thankfulness then. Right?
And I think a lot of, one practical way to think about trust is to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God, that this, I'm in this experience, that this is happening, that this is going, I trust you. I'm recognizing that you are in control of that, and I can give thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, that's kind of the model, right? That we live in a world full of heat, in our sinful sort of natural state. You know, our sinful hearts, our sinful roots produce a kind of thorn, but through the cross, there can be a real change down to the root level
of our heart,
hearts, so that now, instead of producing thorns, when we encounter the heat of this world, we produce fruit, right? And therefore, we begin to reap a different kind of life as a result of that fruit, you know, from what we were previously reaping from the thorns. And that's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, that's we give God all the praise for that.
Yeah, and I think that becomes, and as I think about our congregation, as I think about our church and churches around the city and around the world, to the degree that churches are filled with people like that, that's a bright light shining, because it can only be explained one way.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we want our churches to be places where we are all not satisfied with just kind of superficial change, looking good on the outside, hiding away all the dirty stuff, but we're walking with one another in this process of cultivating kind of this gospel change in our lives.
Walking in the light, and so that the gospel of Christ can, you know, where we can walk together glad that the Lord is exposing our thorns, exposing our hearts, so that the cross then really speaks to us at the deepest levels of who we are, so that our hearts begin to change and real and good fruit grows out of that. That's what I long for.
Amen. Well, Mike, thank you so much for being on this show. Hey, do you want to say a word just for folks about this book?
I do, Jeff. Thank you. I would say that if what we have talked about piques your interest or you're curious about that, I would encourage you to get in touch with Mary Alice or me or both of us, because I would love to make it possible for people to go through this with someone, Beyond whether we're offering it as a Sunday morning class, which we only had two of, and then we did it virtually after that. But I would love to provide that as an opportunity for anyone who is interested in that.
Yeah. Amen. Well, friends, I hope you will think on these things, whether you do the workbook or not. This is the Christian life,
mm-hmm.
right? So
amen.
This is what we're walking through together. Mike, thank you again so much.